Crown of Thorns by Peter Ferravari. None fall as far or as fatally as those who soar the highest, for pride does not precede the fall. Pride is the fall. The Lethean Revelation, Psalm 451. I will make my stand today, Montague vowed, to the heavy tome in his hands. I will not cast another neophyte to the thorns. The forbidden book had been an anchor to him throughout this benighted decade, a tangible relic of past glories. He ran his fingers over the gilded text, marvelling at the crisp, cursive elegance that other hands had wrought. The hands of a space marine like himself. He had never possessed the talent for such things, yet many amongst this chapter were fine artisans. It was a gift from their progenitor, divine Sanguinius, passed down the millennia to illuminate the path of his descendants. A gift that neophyte Felion would have exemplified in saner times. Such beauty honours our lineage, Montague mused. While other chapters fought for glory, faith, or the sheer joy of slaughter, his own had made nobility its creed, and alone amongst the scions of Sanguinius, his battle brothers had been entirely free of the madness that haunted the angel's bloodline. No space marine in the blue and gold had ever succumbed to the black rage. But that was when we were still resplendent, Montague admitted, returning his treasure to its hiding place. Now so many of us have fallen that we have our own death company. Perhaps within the century we shall have nothing else. And then what? An ignominious doom that will consign us to a sordid footnote on the Imperium's roll of honour? He glanced across at the neatly arrayed segments of his power armour, scowling at the murky, umber-streaked black plates. We won't even die bearing our true colours. Reverently, he replaced the loose flagstone, sealing the tome beneath his chamber. It was a minor work, but it was the only book Montague had been able to save during the Great Purge, and that made it priceless. Perhaps in some future age it would be restored to the Librarium. After the Librarium itself was restored, and the fortress monastery of Canvolis cast off the Crown of Thorns. But I shall not live to see any of it, Montague knew. Beauty blinds the body. Hope binds the soul. Psalm 31. The flickering torches along Montague's path served only to taunt the shadows as he descended towards the halls of contempt, tramping through a mulch of rotting tapestries and pulverized statuary. The undying martyr had pronounced this effluvium of desiccated glory sacrosanct, a mockery of treacherous pride. The Great Purge had swept Canvolis clean of beauty, yet it had left the fortress filthy, just as the martyr's words had befouled the chapter itself. He has poisoned us with sour faith, Montague thought, but we chose to drink deep of his lies, so perhaps the venom was always in our hearts. The undying martyr had come among them a decade ago, crawling from the churning waters of the River Tristes that served Canvolis as a moat. Brother Sergeant Montague had led the squad that challenged the intruder, bolters poised to fire upon his word. He could sense his brother's fury at this trespass, for it should have been impossible. Few space marines could master the Tristes, so how had a mortal survived the feat? But was he truly mortal? Montague had been struck by the raw presence of the man who stood swaying on the riverbank, head bowed and face shrouded in a cascade of black hair. He was a giant amongst ordinary men, powerfully muscled and only a few heads shorter than a battle brother. His flesh was a patchwork of cuts, boils and blisters, and the bleeding wound in his midriff looked fatal, yet he burned with vitality. Only the crude pendant hanging from his neck stayed Montague's hand, for it was unmistakably an Aquila. In that moment of hesitation, the stranger looked up and pinned him with savage, compassionate eyes. "Do I still dream?" he asked. "I should have ended him then," Montague thought bleakly. Instead, he had taken the intruder to Chaplain Malvoisin for interrogation, and the fall of his chapter had begun. "Patience and pain are the hammers and nails of devotion." Psalm 27. "It is time," Montague called from the door of the cell. Felion reeked of stale sweat and fresh shame. Like all neophytes, he was forbidden to cleanse his body until he had earned the black carapace, and like so many who strove under the edicts of the undying martyr, he had been found wanting. But whereas most fell foul of some minor ritual, Felion's sin was catastrophic. Absurdly, it made no difference, for all sinners, great and small alike, were summoned before the Crown of Thorns, the conclave of chaplains that now presided over the chapter. Invariably, they were offered the same choice. "Take the path of chains," Montague urged, "and condemn myself to be an anchorite until I fall."
"You would still be serving your chapter."
"Tell me, Sergeant, which path would you take?" Felion challenged. For that, Montague had no answer.
"I should have stood with Athanasius," he thought bleakly. "It would have been better to die with my chapter than live to watch it shrivel and devour its own."
But Montague had not seen it then, for he had been as blinded by Chaplain Malvoisin's fervour as the rest, just as Malvoisin had been blinded by the martyr. The chaplain had conversed with the stranger for 19 days before proclaiming him a prophet of the God Emperor who bore terrible new insights into the Imperial Creed. Those truths were dark indeed, for he revealed that mankind was corrupt beyond redemption, and that its greatest guardians, the Adeptus Astartes, were the basest of all sinners. For had they not faltered and fragmented in the war against the arch-betrayer, Horus?
"Those who stood unblemished yesterday shall fall tomorrow or the day after," Malvoisin had declared. "For treachery hides in our blood, cloaked in pride."
There could be no hope of ascension into the Emperor's light, only penitence and pain for sins past and future. The war was already lost, and the only victory was fighting on in the knowledge of certain defeat.
"Was it the lurking shame of the black rage that drew us to such a barren creed?" Montague wondered. "Were we always so broken?" "Rise," he commanded the neophyte. "Your path awaits." "Better to serve in shame than rule in sin." Psalm 19. "It would have been different if the knight resplendent had been with us," Montague mused, as he led his prisoner through the darkness. "He would have cast out the snake."
But chapter master Varzizel had been absent for years, campaigning with the first company. There had been no word of them since the purge, and Malvoisin had declared them lost. But Montague didn't believe it. The Knight Resplendent would return some day to reclaim and redeem his chapter.
"But I am unworthy of seeing it."
In the absence of the chapter master, only Chief Librarian Athanasius and his brethren had spurned the martyr's testament. Inevitably, they were denounced as heretics, and Montague had stormed the librarium alongside his brothers, driven by a loathing he'd never felt before, even in battle with the Xenos.
"Was that the first stirrings of the Black Rage?"
Athanasius and his followers had awaited them, absent arms or armour, yet shielded by a contempt that brought the charge to a standstill. The attackers waited for the frigid electric tang that presaged a psychic assault. But when Athanasius spoke, it was only words.
"We will rise on burning wings."
Only words, but they were the chapter's credo, delivered with a conviction that drained the poison from Montague. It might have been enough. But then Malvoisin bellowed the new credo, the one revealed by the undying martyr.
"The Emperor condemns!"
"The Angels Resplendent died that day, and the Angels Penitent rose from their grave, shadow-bound and bitter. The Emperor condemns."
The first psalm.
This is not the way to the Hall of Thorns,
Felion protested.
No, Montaigne admitted. It is not. I am taking you to the Harbinger's Gate. Head upriver from there and lose yourself in the mountains.
The neophyte halted, confused.
But the Crown of Thorns has summoned me.
It has, Montaigne said. It has summoned you to tear yourself apart, as all who attempt the path of thorns must do.
If that is the penitence for my sin...
You have committed no sin,
Montaigne almost snarled.
Your scrimshaw carvings honour the Primarch.
No, Fillion's eyes were feverish. Art exalts the tyranny of vanity.
We were warrior artisans before the outsider enslaved us. I've seen your skill grow over the years. Arms and art in harmony. The true path of the Resplendent.
You knew of my heresy?
The neophyte was aghast.
I am your mentor, Sergeant. Of course I knew.
Montaigne shook his head, gravely.
I strove to shield you. But someone must have spied your work and betrayed you.
Nobody betrayed me, Felion said coldly. I confess my sins to the Crown of Thorns.
Montaigne stared at him.
As you must confess yours, mentor sergeant,
Felion accused.
For you have broken faith with...
Montaigne's fist took him in the face, crushing his words with a savagery that sent the neophyte reeling against the wall. Even so, Felion's reflexes were magnificent and he turned the stagger into a wild spin, trying to put distance between them. But Montaigne gave him no quarter. Stepping in, he caught Felion by the throat and swung again and then again, letting the black rage claim him, absolving him of virtue or honour or the torment of hope.
We have fallen, and we cannot rise, for our wings are chained and our blood runs cold.
When it was done, Montaigne stepped away from the broken corpse, breathing hard as he fought down the rage. It had not felt black at all, but radiant.
The heretic tried to flee,
he said aloud, testing the words that he would offer the Crown of Thorns. I delivered him unto the Emperor's spite.
And I will make my stand another day.
Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. This is the only other story about the Crown of Thorns, about the Angel's Penitent, the Peter Ferravari, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sorry. It's the way the word is structured. I just can't get my lips around it. I can't get my tongue around it. I can't do it. Sorry. So it's this looks like a really good chapter to do some lore on, to do a novel on. And being as the previous short story I did, this came out years ago, so he's had it in mind for a long time. The last short story I did with the chaplain and the mirror, that came out last year, like fairly recently. So hopefully we're probably going to get a novel about them soonish, maybe. Hopefully. I would be really interested in seeing what's going on with these guys, because there seems to be a lot of depth there, a lot of interesting concepts about like belief and brotherhood and stuff like that. And I think that's really good fodder for Space Marine stuff, you know. And there's a lot to explore there. You can tell. I'm sure you thought the same. So I'm looking forward to a novel about these guys in the not-too-distant future. You can see your names going by here. This is everybody supporting the channel. Thank you, lads. I really appreciate it. If you would like to join this roll call of honourable, I don't know, just geezers, dudes, then you can follow the links below and you can support me various different ways. But yeah, that's it for now. I'll be back. This was just a short one. I'll be back with more stuff very, very soon. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Do remember to like the video. Do subscribe. And let me know in the comments what you think. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I really like this. They've got this does it for me. I'm really looking forward to more for the Angel's Penitent. I think they'll be really good. And the Crown of Thorns. And this mysterious stranger. Ooh. All right. See you later. Bye-bye.